SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say, hour number two right here on the early line? Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, phone call. I mean, are we taking callers on the early line yet? What's the deal?
So we might as well be. What is it? Hold on, let me check. 844-843-6879. Let's go!
You didn't just read it off the pad.
I actually did because I didn't want to. Because the camera came on me, so I didn't want to give out the wrong number. So I always have it off to my left just in case, even though I think I've said that number 3 million times. Yeah. But then again, Kevin, if you ask me today, hey, you don't have your cell phone, what's your wife's phone number? I don't even know what it is, man. I don't know.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm blowing the show up right now. How many cell phones, how many numbers do you know? Like,
I'm going to give you
on the spot. I don't want the numbers. I'm just saying, like, how many do you know?
Yeah. Well, let me give your number out first here. See if I know that one, but I won't do it. But I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you right now, I'm being dead serious. My stepfather's number is the one number that I know that I can dial on a cell phone. My wife's, I won't. My mother's, I won't. My father, I won't. I'm not like playing this up on that. That is the God's honest truth. I honestly know like one telephone number that I could call. Like if I got in trouble, I know my stepfather's cell phone. Everybody else, I actually don't know the number.
Do you know your own number?
Yes, I know my own number. I actually know my mom's landline number, which has been the same since 1985. But outside of that, no.
I wonder how long that information stays, the landline number. Because I don't even know the point of calling that thing, but it needs to stay the same forever. All right, Phillies red, shall we?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Let's go.
All right, let's get after it here today. Major League Baseball packed board on a Friday, which is what we love to see here. Allows the people to. Now, I will say this, quick baseball complaint. Horrendous job not having 3 to 4 games at 1 o'clock. Awful job.
Yeah, true.
Why not? True. Just lead us in. Lead us in throughout the day. It's all good, though. Phils are a road favorite here. Total 9.5 at Cincinnati.
I actually like the Phillies tonight. And I like the Phillies to hit. And I like the Phillies to score some runs here. And also like the Phillies pitching matchup with Taijuan Walker. But if we just focused on the Phillies side of things here, Overton, the right-handed pitcher, will be on the mound today. 4.43 xFIP, which isn't all that terrible. He's got some decent strikeout numbers. But if you just want to get onto the batter splits here between lefties and righties, it's not good for Overton. As I said, he's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, against lefties on this early season. How about this? 19 batters he's faced, a 574 weighted on base percentage and an ISO 400. Flip it over to the right side here, 375 weighted on base percentage with an ISO of 200. The guys that have done well in the Philadelphia Phillies lineup against right-handed pitching, right in the middle of that lineup, Schwarber, Castellanos, Realmuto, Marsh, and Bohm have absolutely detonated right-handed pitching. I think those guys will do damage, and I think the Phillies win tonight.
Can I actually stay on the Phillies for a second here? So they lost again yesterday at Cincinnati. And in our 7-7, we mentioned the Bryce Harper first base story. Where do you land on any idea that Bryce might rush back with a slow start to this Philadelphia Phillies season? This is a team that was in the World Series. We know the division is meant to be tough with Atlanta and the Mets, and teams can always surprise. Maybe Miami's going to finally have that season where they're hanging around all year long, but more teams make it to the playoffs. The Phillies have had last year, the Phillies obviously fired Joe Girardi in season. Yeah. So it's not that 4-9 is not some insurmountable start, but you would not want to see Bryce, with how important he is, not just this season. Bryce Harper's your most important player for the next half decade. Radio audience, early lines, here's XM Channel 159. Where do you land on the slow start and the Bryce Harper return?
I don't think there's any correlation because we were hearing the rumblings 2 weeks in the spring training that Bryce Harper was way ahead of schedule, you know, working off and even like interviews with like Larry Boa, who was a part of spring training for the Philadelphia Phillies, not supposed to give that information out, but goes, hey, throw that number out the window, whoever said the all-star break. And you saw the Phillies a week before they left spring training go, we're not even going to put him on the long-term IL because we believe he'll be back sooner than later. So I don't think anything's necessarily getting rushed because of how the Phillies were playing. I just think he was fast track there coming into spring training as it was.
All right, fair enough. Wanted to just check in with that. Let's talk about those Marlins. They're going to play against the Diamondbacks here today, and they're going to do so as a favorite. Again, Matt Bum, you know, around long enough to where you see the name, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Total here is a 9 down in Miami.
Yeah, this isn't a great-looking lineup for the Marlins by any stretch of it. And technically, they haven't hit left-handed pitching all that well. Only Cooper and Soler have positive numbers here on ISO power splits against lefties. But I think you said the right things here. This isn't Mad Bum of 2014. Like, he's going to dominate, throw 120 pitches, and the Marlins can't get out of their own way. We take a look at Mad Bum on this young season, and this has been going on for a while. An xFIP number approaching 9. Strikeout percentage of only 15%. How about this, Kevin? 45 batters he's faced, he's walked 22% of those batters. Look at the splits to lefties. He's a left-handed pitcher. You're supposed to dominate left-handed batters. A 5.11 weighted on base percentage to righties, a 3.93. The Marlins should be able to wake up against Mad Bum. Why? Because everybody, Kevin, wakes up against Mad Bum.
Yeah, he's not, again, I mean, he's not the same pitcher. Though
he's not.
I was about to say same could be said for Trevor Rogers, but that wouldn't be doing it justice. Trevor Rogers was a guy, though, that came up with Miami, and they thought, oh, this guy's going to be special in 2021, pitched to that sub-3 ERA. Last year was bad, started this season bad. Is Trevor Rogers a guy for this Miami team, or is this fade material? And that's how you get yourself to a total of 9, right? With not the scariest lineups in all of baseball there. Still plenty, plenty more to break down on this slate, plus a same-game parlay. Keep it right here. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's make it happen here on the Early Line, going through the Major League Baseball slate. Think we stop over, though, quickly and get the people here a little juice here in the morning and give the people a look at a same-game parlay. We go to the latest game on the slate, the Rockies and the Mariners. You want to stay up late on a Friday here and get involved with the baseball board, same game parlay style. How should they do so, Donnie?
They need to get after it from a Seattle Mariners perspective. This coming off your boy DRS staying hot yesterday with the same game parlay winner on the Baltimore Orioles that needed a walk-off home run. Doesn't matter how you get there, Kevin, as long as you cash. Let's take a look at another three-leg same game parlay, which, again, we're going to use the hitter prop angle here. I'm going to go Rodriguez, France, and Hernandez all to record a hit for the Mariners tonight. When that happens, that'll be a plus 143. The reason we like it, Austin Gomber on the mound is a left-handed pitcher. XFIP number on the season, 5.29. He gets lefties out, but he really struggles with right-handed batters to the tune of a 3.68 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 294. It's a lot of really good right-handed batters that will be lining up against Gomber to start. Rodriguez, France, Suarez, Hernandez, and Rally. Of those three, we went with Rodriguez, France, and Hernandez to get the job done. Let's go. Let's make it 2-0 as we head off, because why, Kevin? Friday is payday. I'm going to hit this same game parlay.
Beautiful stuff there. I decided to put together a little zigzag situation. What does that mean? So on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and understandably so, when you put together a correlated parlay, the odds reflect that. It does not take your item simply for its odds. It takes it for what it is. So if I take two hitters to record a hit and the over, that is not going to be as juicy as each of the starting pitchers to record 4+ strikeouts and the over, which is exactly what I've done here. Gonzalez to get 4+ and Gomber to get 4+ paired with the over pays out at plus 272. Again, if you take where the same line, right, of where Gonzalez's strikeout prop is from the juice perspective, Donnie, and Gomber, if you replace those with hitters, okay, that have the same exact juice essentially with the over, you're getting at about plus 180. This is kind of a zigzag here. Just because Gomber and Gonzalez strike out four doesn't mean we can't get juice in this game here to me. I'm trying to just give it a little go here. We're having fun with these same game parlays and add a little juice to this baseball game here between the Mariners and the Rockies.
Yeah, it should be good. We should have some fun. We should be looking for a 2-0 night here to get going. And also, you're right, it's Friday night. Your boy DRS can stay up here till 10 o'clock and watch it play out because, quite frankly, Kevin, I think I only need the bottom of the first inning. How do you like that?
I do like that because there is no way you stay up for Mariners Rockies. Yeah. It does that, and I don't know if that has anything to even do with, like, but come on now. Of all the things for you to stay up for, like Mariners Rockies in April, non-team total, that's not happening. That's look. Come I on mean, now. Let's not.
I mean, there's a good chance I might be in bed by 8. I'm just trying to hype myself up to give it a chance. Yeah. Okay, we just need a chance. We need that little glimmer of hope. Right. If I build it all day long, like I need to be up is one thing. But you know, your boy DRS around 7:15 going, ooh, what's on TV tonight? Yeah, so I got to hype myself up and keep it going. I do.
All right. Well, then let's get to some of those 7:15 games, or at least in that range there. Yeah. I feel like one of your favorite teams these early days here is the Baltimore Orioles. And they go to Chicago as a favorite. Different times for Baltimore. Total here is an 8.5. Clevinger's got the ball for the White Sox. What do you like in this game?
Liking the bats here from Baltimore early on, Kevin, no doubt about it. And also, can they hit Clevinger is the question here. Why? XFIP for Clevinger on this early season is 6.46 through about 50 batters here. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys, walking too many, ground ball percentage only at 24%, which means close to 3 out of every 4 batters are not hitting the ball on the ground. Line drives and balls in the air tend to get more extra base hits here. If we're looking for some of the hitters that make some sense in this game, usually we look toward the big guys, right? Rutschman, Santander, Mountcastle in the middle of the lineup. But take a look at this. Maybe some value in some players later in that lineup. Hayes, Frazier, and Urias here. Look at this. ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching this year, 321, 261, and 227. How about their weighted on base percentages here? 383, 394, and 410. So many times, Kevin, you want to stack those batters, 2, 3, and 4 to get the damage done. I'm not so sure that's the case here. Maybe stacking 6, 7, and 8 tonight might be profitable at more plus money percentages, but I do think the O's hit. They just have to get after Clevinger, who is hittable here, Kevin.
Adley Rutschman yesterday got the people paid late with a walk-off home run. He has been phenomenal for this Baltimore team as they sit a game above 500 early season. I'm very excited was going to be strong. The NBA playoffs are going to start. I am interested to see the outcome here between Astros Rangers because the Rangers are a team that, you know, obviously tried to push in a little bit, but they did just lose Corey Seager now for about a month. The Astros are having a slow start, heated up recently in Pittsburgh, and they're back home. Luis Garcia has the ball at a minus 168 favorite for Houston. Is it side? Is it total tonight with Astros Rangers?
Here's how we're going to play this one out. Martin Perez has been very good to start the season. A left-handed pitcher here for the Texas Rangers. A 346 weighted on base percentage. K rate over 25%. Not walking a lot of guys. And also dominant here. Lefty and righty splits with ISO power numbers. 0 to lefties, only 167 to right-handed batters. But if we're taking a look and being honest with ourselves here, the Houston Astros lineup against left-handed pitching early on has been sensational. 7 out of the 10 batters have at least a 309 weighted on base percentage or higher. You're talking about some guys with some elevated numbers on ISO power number as well. Look at these. And again, limited at bats here. McCormick, a 500. Alvarez, a 222. Tucker, 333. Payne, a 545. Jolks, 571. So you're sort of taking that leap of faith like sooner or later, the Astros bats are going to come around. Maybe they can do that. But also, take a look at Garcia, who's a very good pitcher for the Astros, but his start to the season has been bad. 45 batters that he's faced. He's got an xFIP of 5.41, a K rate under 20%, a walk rate over 10%. And take a look at these two numbers, Kevin. He's a right-handed pitcher. To lefties, 555 weighted on base percentage. To righties, 367. Something has to give. So if we're looking at this game also, if you want to include both teams, probably taking the over makes a lot of sense here.
All right, we'd like to see juice there. One thing I couldn't help but bring up is Martin Maldonado is not a guy that frequently checks in. It's like, oh, Martin Maldonado is going to have a big day. Also, when we talk about hit props, it's usually a parlay piece. Martin Maldonado is minus 135 to record a hit. He does have good career statistics against Perez. If you like to play that way, again, rarely can you bet a guy to get a hit as like a straight wager. Maldonado could check in for you favorably there. We go. Come on, that guy. My favorite is they like trade it for a catcher too, like at the deadline. Yes. It's like, yeah, this guy, like, you just can't with this guy anymore. Exactly. Braves, offense, defense, like it's the NBA. Braves, Royals here. Singer, Morton, Charlie Morton, unsurprisingly, is the road favorite here. Just Atlanta being favored in Kansas City is not surprising. But it's not massive. Minus 132, that's a respectable range there. Total's a 9 in KC.
Yeah, we're probably looking more towards the over in this game. Singer, who has an okay xFIP on the season, Kevin, 4.19. Strikeout percentage isn't very good. But if you're looking at the splits here, they're sort of backwards for Singer. He's a right-handed pitcher. Take a look at lefties here, Kevin. 251 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 125. That's fantastic. That's like a lefty on a lefty right there. But Singer is a right-handed pitcher, but he's actually struggling, Kevin, with right-handed batters to the tune of a 378 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 250. So if you're looking at angles to play here, three out of the first four batters in the Braves lineup or should be right-handed batters tonight. Acuna, Riley, and Murphy. Why is that important? Look at their weighted on base percentages. 426, 356, and 370 against right-handed pitchers. So if I'm looking for an angle tonight, as I just said, hey, maybe with the Orioles, we'll stack in a little bit later. You should be stacking early these batters going up against Singer. I think they could do some damage.
I mean, that an Atlanta Brave team total, I don't think is ever too hard.
Yeah.
Of a sell, people could certainly look to get involved there. Perhaps the weather, maybe today. KC usually feels like a decent weather place.
Yeah,
there.
Questionable.
Checks in too. Favorably. There's two more games of the baseball slate we wanted to get to. I think we'll get to those. We have enough time. Then we're going to get to some of the Sunday games in the NBA. Not everything set, of course, because of the play-in. We'll break that all down. We keep it right here as we keep it moving on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two more Major League Baseball games, Sunday NBA, and then a little NBA reset for you as we've got about a half hour left in the early lines week on Sports Grid. Let's take a look now at the game between the Brewers and the Padres. This series did start last night. Milwaukee won it in extra innings by a final of 4-3. The Padres will look to bounce back with their 7-7 start. They are home favorites as Michael Wacha has the ball.
Yeah, I think they might bounce back, too. You take a look at Milwaukee here lining up. Eric Lauer as a left-handed pitcher. If we're taking a look through 43 at-bats that he's faced, how about this as a lefty? He's only faced two left-handed batters, the rest, 41 of those from the right side. And he's get banged up a little bit here. 425 weighted on base percentage, 286 ISO to those right-handed bats. So maybe Manny Machado can wake up this season. Xander Bogaerts can wake up here. Nelson Cruz certainly might be the best hitter in that lineup with a 278 ISO power number and a 405 weighted on base percentage. Kim also, 375. ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, 504. I'm looking for those bats to finally get on track here for the Padres. I think they can do it tonight. Heavy right-handed lineup should produce some results.
Yeah, certainly a group that feels due. Like Machado last night hit his first home run of the season.
Yeah.
That was the longest it had taken him in his career to find his first home run. To some degree, right? Guys are due. Perhaps that's the case for San Diego. And then lastly here, the Mets and the Padres. The Mets go to Oakland, and they're over minus 200 favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total here is an 8. Caprillion is one of those names that when I see, I expect their game to be on the card.
Yeah, the radar pops up when Caprillion is on the mound, over a 6x FIP on the season. Lefty splits here, weighted on base average to lefties here, 512 to righties, 390. ISO power numbers, both lefty and righty, off the charts here. Here's the issue we're having. The Mets, even though we have had some hitting weather, this team isn't hitting, particularly, Kevin, against right-handed pitching. Take a look. This is like Detroit Tigers range here, Kevin. 9 batters in the lineup tonight. Do you know only one plus batter showing up from a weighted on base percentage, and that's Daniel Vogelbach? Again, 320 or higher is what you're shooting for here as a Major League Baseball player. Look at Nimmo versus righties this year. 294, Marte, 304, Lindor, 298, Alonso, 264, McNeil, 291, Canna, 264, Escobar, 174, Nito, 217. One player here, they should wake up. If I'm looking for a game that you can wake up and finally say, okay, the Mets look like they're doing some damage here, 5-plus runs, it should be tonight. Now, granted, Oakland, not the best hitting environment, I get it, but if you can't hit Caprillion and wake up in the 23 season, you're going to have issues here. They need to get something done. The numbers don't bear it, but you're just banking on this team is way better than what they've shown, Kevin, against right-handed pitching.
Important game then to try and get a sense of how much you can trust these Mets moving forward. We will keep it out on the West Coast, but we take the move over to the NBA. Mm-hmm. In hour number one, we talked about the play-in games. We'll mention those a little bit here as well. We also talked about the Saturday slate. The Sunday slate has two games that are set. The opening game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Los Angeles Lakers. Memphis is a 3.5-point favorite, and that is reflected in a series price that is quite tight between the 2 seed and the 7 seed. Memphis is -142. And I know what everybody expects me to say about this series, which is Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. I think Memphis is a very, very difficult task. I don't have overwhelming confidence in the Los Angeles Lakers in this series. Yes, I certainly think they can win it. One of the difficult things, you know, a little spoiler in this respect, Donnie, I firmly believe the winner of Memphis, LA, will beat the winner of Sacramento, Golden State. I think the winner of this series will be in the Western Conference Finals. But I think Memphis deserves to be a favorite with having home court advantage in this series. And I think they have certainly a good chance to beat the Lakers here in this opening round.
It's a referendum series here, Kevin, right? Because I'm still grappling. And yes, we are on the brink of watching the playoffs tonight. Really, the playoffs start tonight because the winner's going to move on. And then Saturday, we get everything going. But this is one of those where I haven't bet the Lakers here. And if you're still looking for the Lakers to win the championship, we'll go over those odds a little bit later. But just to give you a sneak peek, they're 21-1 to win a national championship, a world championship in the NBA. But I'm still hesitant to say, I know the talent is there. They haven't shown it on the court. They're healthy, and the first round takes 3 weeks to play, which always benefits the veteran team if you're a little bit banged up, which the Lakers are with LeBron James at his foot. And just making sure Anthony Davis is healthy night to night, D'Angelo Russell, you get the picture there. But if I'm looking here and I say to myself, if I truly believe the Lakers can win a +120 price on the series, which I do, and they do beat the Memphis Grizzlies, doesn't it feel like one playoff series more than any other coming across the board outside of, I guess, maybe the Kings, where if the Lakers win, you go, yeah, that's what we expected, and sure, looks like they're going to make a run to the championship. But if they don't win, it's the same. Oh, come on, man. LeBron, he's old, he's washed up, they can't get along, trade AD in the offseason, maybe they get Kyrie Irving and completely shift that, or LeBron James actually doesn't want to be a Laker anymore. But having said that, I do think the Lakers can win this series, and I think that will catapult them into the front of most people's mind by going, hey, maybe the Lakers are for real. The problem is, that price is going to get way shorter winning a championship than if you bet them after this series that they win than before they even play.
It certainly would. It'll get shorter, but there'd probably still be... Okay, so if you feel how I feel in that the winner of this series will get to the conference finals, it might be worth it, Donnie, in that there's still going to be some value on it. Can I just hit on something that you just kind of touched on here? Because I actually... What is really, if Memphis wins this series, are we really going to hear, not you and I, but are we going to really like have to like rehash like LeBron Jordan, like in year 20? Yes. Like, is that what we're going to do?
Yes.
Like, oh, Jordan would have never lost in the first round, despite the fact that he did lose in the first round during his career. Like, are we going to, like the Lakers losing this series to me is not a disaster result. I think that completely disregards Memphis. Like if they would have lost to Minnesota, right? Like, oh, that's pretty embarrassing. They were without two starters. Losing to Memphis isn't embarrassing, right? If the Lakers got swept, if the Lakers lost in five, okay. But if this is a good 6-7 game series and the Lakers don't win the series, we really then have to come on the next day and start trading everybody and saying that, yes, we'll talk about could Kyrie come to town, but it's we have to do the whole referendum thing again?
Yes, you will, because here's what happens. The anti-LeBron establishment here, the Jordan backers, and you have to keep in mind, the Lakers are on the road and the Lakers are a dog in this series. If LeBron wins it, it's Memphis. What do you mean? If he beat Memphis, like Jordan would kill Memphis back in the day. But if he loses it, That's embarrassing. They lost to Memphis. Yeah, they're 5 seeds lower and also were the dog in the series. They lost. It happens. That's technically, quote unquote, Kevin, what's supposed to happen. But that's the way it plays out. Oh, Lakers lost in 7. Memphis? That's horrible. Memphis stinks. No, wait, hold on. What was Memphis' seed again?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so... I try and think, like, what the talking point would be if Game 6 ends with Memphis winning the series 4-2. And the idea that it will...
At the buzzer. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there were some... I'll leave that. I'm not going to open that up. I'll leave that be. I'll be nice, even though he doesn't deserve it. What do we do? Suns-Clippers, I guess, since that's set. We'll do Suns-Clippers. Here is the thing with Phoenix, Donnie. They've played 8 games with Kevin Durant. They've won all 8. But it's 8 games. It's 8 games. Is that enough? Or is the idea, don't worry about 8 games. They can play 0 games. They have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. It's the best top of a team that anybody has in the NBA, maybe.
That's the way I look at it. Glass half full. We're not even touching the surface of what I believe the Suns can actually do. They're still trying to hang out, become friends, and get used to each other. And every time that ball jumps, they win the basketball game. What happens now where they're locked in on a playoff run, not worrying about, hey, Kevin, you played on a Monday night, we played on a Wednesday, take that day off, and then Booker, you take Friday off. They're going to be locked in and engaged all the way through. I'm excited to see what the Phoenix Suns have to offer, but that's the way, Kevin, I'm looking at heading in towards the playoffs for the Suns. Not that they haven't gelled yet. I'm saying they just been messing around and all they do is win.
Yeah, so let me sell you on a bet. I think you'll like this series is difficult. I think Phoenix wins this series. It's difficult in that it's a 4-5 matchup and the 4 is a minus 500 favorite, right? It's tricky to find value. I think I can get you to be interested in this number though. The Suns correct score after 3 games, 3-0 plus 220. Here's the thought process. Phoenix is winning the first 2 games, in my opinion. The Clippers have played 3 road games without Paul George. They played 2 games as a dog. They've not won them. Because, of course not. The only, they won a game at Phoenix the last game of the season against all backups and won that game. Cool. Fine. Great. Here's my thought, Donnie. Phoenix wins the first 2, and I have Suns game 3 money line at plus 220. The Suns are going to be what? 1.5, 2-point favorite in game 3. I can either bet the Clippers or let the Phoenix ticket ride. That's my thought.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense too. Like if for Phoenix, for me, it's the one future I have in to win an NBA championship. I look for them to beat the Clippers. And again, until Paul George completely healthy, game 1, ready to go, I might have some secondary thoughts on the series. Go, ooh, this is going to be a lot tighter. Ooh, yeah. I would be surprised if the Clippers push this into 6 and 7 games, to be honest.
You know, the funny thing with that is, if like the give and take, if PG was healthy, right, you might, do I really want to bet Phoenix? But Phoenix wouldn't be 5-1. You know, they might be 6-1 plus 650 because of the respect that the Clippers would be getting heading into this series. But the lack of PG, obviously factoring in heavy. We'll mention the one seeds and we'll talk about the odds overall as we set it up before the playoffs begin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. I want to be able to set up the odds to win the title, odds to win the East, odds to win the West. Before we do that, though, I want to try and a little kind of prediction preview process for the 2-1 seeds. We don't have their matchups yet, meaning we have obviously don't have their series prices yet. But we can navigate a couple of things here. Let's start with Milwaukee. The easy end of this. If they see Chicago, I think the question is going to be, the same as everybody's asking about Brooklyn, the same that everybody's asking about Atlanta. Can they win a game? That seems to be the conversation in those matchups. And I think that if the Bucks see the Bulls, it is not, ooh, are they dangerous? Look at the push to 7. It's, do we think the Chicago Bulls can win one game against the Milwaukee Bucks?
I don't think so. I don't think the Chicago Bulls will do that. And also, yeah. Kevin, if you're lining it up where it might be the Miami Heat, right, and you're trying to take that same angle, I guess it could be one advantage, like Milwaukee-Chicago, not that far away. So not huge travel. But when you do go down to Miami, a couple thousand miles away in the South Beach, maybe an extra day or two off between games, you want to get out into a club or two, maybe you can lose a game to the Miami Heat in that respect. But the Chicago Bulls, I think that will be a quick series.
The funny thing with Milwaukee is last year they played Chicago in the playoffs and did not sweep that team. They lost a game at home to the Chicago Bulls, which game two, by the way, which was very surprising that it played out that way. If you look through this Bucks team and kind of their history in the postseason, they have had round one sweeps before. They certainly are capable of it. It'll be a price-dependent thing. The Miami question, though, to me, what do you think a Bucks Heat series price is? So Boston's minus 1,200, Philly's minus 1,000. I think Milwaukee's the shortest price of the group. I don't think they're minus 1,000 to beat Miami, right? I don't think Milwaukee's minus 1,000 despite it being a 1-8 matchup. Do you?
I think they might be higher than that. Like, I'm going to be surprised because, again, this might be coming from a bias here. I think Milwaukee's far and away the best team overall in the East. I know you think it's the Celtics there, and those two will probably tango. But I'm not even looking at that series. Like, I'm viewing that Miami series as, I don't know if Miami can get a win, and the only reason why they get a win is because Milwaukee was up 3-0 and partied and didn't really feel like playing game four, and then back to game five we go in Milwaukee. Like, that's the sense I have. I wouldn't be surprised if you're looking at minus 1,400 in a series. That's just me, the way I would be betting it.
So I think, you know what's funny about that? You could make an argument that maybe Milwaukee should be that price, Donnie, but they won't be, is what I will say very confidently. Because Miami is a team that people get interested in. You don't need to dangle 9-1 to get Miami Heat outright bets. You don't need to do it. However, Miami kind of has this history of they own the Bucks. The last time they played, the year the Bucks won the title, round number one, Milwaukee swept them. Now, one of the games went to overtime, and then the rest were completely non-competitive. And was that Miami team better than this Miami team? About even. It wasn't, you know, one of the two Miami teams that obviously went on their runs. The idea of Milwaukee, though, being able to get rid of Miami in quick fashion, minus 2.5 games, if you're getting a favorable price, I think would actually be very, very tempting, Donnie, there. And I think you would agree based on kind of what you're saying. Then we get to Denver. Denver's going to either play the Timberwolves or the Thunder. I don't care what anybody thinks about OKC Minnesota tonight. The Thunder have no chance, zero, to push the Denver Nuggets. They win a game, they should honestly drop confetti down on their players. Minnesota, despite being 1,000% capable of losing to OKC tonight, could push Denver a bit. What is still continually lost on people in their Minnesota analysis is that this was supposed to be a team that competed for one of the top four seeds in the West. And the biggest reason they didn't do that, to me, was health. You could say it was Gobert not delivering to his end of the deal, and you'd have fair arguments to make. But at the end of the day, if you get into that series, Jokic is the best player. Is Anthony Edwards the second best player? Probably. Is Karl Anthony Towns the third best player? Probably. Jamal Murray, Rudy Gobert. Minnesota and the front end of their roster being able to take multiple games. I'm not saying beat Denver in the series, Donnie, but the type of challenge I think is significantly more difficult than if they play Oklahoma City, the Denver Nuggets.
It has the vibes of like UConn. How the heck were they a number four seed? Well, They just didn't put it together here. And I'm not saying that the Timberwolves are UConn and they're going to just melt the actual Western Conference and win an NBA title. But you could say that they're underseeded for what we thought was going to take place. And also, it's a shame that one of their starters throws a punch and breaks his hand at a wall. Let's just say that didn't happen. And Rudy Gobert back from his one-game suspension. And Big Cat's back in that lineup who we probably thought was going to miss the entire season. And Edwards starts to play well. That's not a true number eight seed coming to your town to play a number one seed looking to get walked over. So I agree with your assessment. If OKC plays Denver in elevation after winning two play-in games, they're probably like, hey, man, house money all the way around. If we steal one game, you're right. Drop the confetti down on our home court. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, if they were full gas and ready to go, could have maybe pushed the Denver Nuggets because, again, we're looking at the Denver Nuggets from their previous playoff experiences going, well, it's not like Denver Nuggets just win the West and get to the NBA Finals. They just haven't gotten over the hump yet. We're still doubting that team as a true number one seed. And I do think the better competitive experience would come from the Timberwolves, but we don't even know how healthy Rudy Gobert is at this point and if the team wants him to play from a player's perspective right now.
Yeah, the health end of it to me is more interesting than how the players... Because I think if they're going to all say the right things, but I think it's just going to be forever eye rolls like the rest of Rudy's career. The idea that Gobert is not healthy enough to play also does offer probably up some insight as to why he was even angrier with Kyle Anderson in the moment. Like, if you're out there playing injured and getting slandered by your guy, it's like, you know what, man? Like, I can't have this. So then you Gizmo Gadget punch him in the chest, and then the next thing you know, you get thrown out and suspended by your own team. NBA Finals thoughts. Before we embark on this playoff journey, and it's going to be a long one, buckle up. That's how the NBA playoffs go. I love it. Some don't. I don't care. Bucks plus 240, Boston plus 350, Phoenix plus 480. That is tier one. You then get Golden State at plus 850, Denver and Philly each at 10-1. That would be tier two. Six teams, three from the East, three from the West. To me, the biggest thing that continues to stand out is despite the fact that I think the Sixers could potentially be favored over every single team in the Western Conference in a series, they would have home court advantage over every single team in the Western Conference. It's that clearly they still, and all year long, do not view the Sixers in the same tier, stratosphere, at all as Milwaukee and Boston, Donnie.
And you're right about that. I'm a big Sixers fan. I'm rooting for the Sixers. I love the fact that Joel Embiid looks like he's going to win the MVP. But having said that, we look at the Western Conference, which is where my future is actually coming from. We'll get to that in a bit, what the price points will be and what makes some sense. But I have this feeling, Kevin, I look at the West and go, Warriors, well, if they get hot, they got the pedigree. Nuggets, well, they're the one seed. They play in elevation, and they kick everybody's butt at home. The Lakers, ooh, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and D'Angelo Russell, all healthy. And the Phoenix Suns, wow, there's a lot of teams that can win it. I go to the East, Kevin, I go, Bucks, Celtics, good luck everybody else. Because I honestly, and again, the Sixers are a really good basketball team. And I can't put together, Kevin, in my head, a pathway where they're going to beat the Celtics and the Bucks on their way to the NBA title. My goodness, that'd be awesome if it happened. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I just figure the East is two teams and that's it, where the West has so many more intriguing options when you try to break it down.
Well, the disaster for Philly, so I just said they'd have home court over every West team, but they will not have home court over either Boston or Milwaukee. Even if they get right, even if they got past Boston, like that, those are the things that make it a very difficult hill to climb. As you mentioned, I find myself leaning towards Boston. Am I not giving Milwaukee's home court enough credit? I'll tell you this. I have no interest in Milwaukee at plus 240. None. Yeah. Absolutely none. Boston at plus 350, maybe. The one thing is, despite the fact that we're talking about these NBA Finals odds, I think a lot of these playoffs, due to a lot of so many interesting storylines, especially the West, Donnie, I think these playoffs are going to be phenomenal for series betting. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of ways to attack these, and not just pre-series, after a game, two games, and being able to attack in that way. When you take that big three from the West, you like Phoenix, I have not, to be totally honest with everybody, I've not fully decided yet. I'm going back and forth on a couple of things. And one of them, one of the things I go back and forth on is the number one seed in the Western Conference being 10-1 to win the title in the Denver Nuggets. And the fact that are they Purdue? Is Denver Purdue? A team that I spend a lot of time giving a lot of slander to, and then all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? The value's there. What's value if it's a losing ticket? And is Denver ultimately a losing ticket?
It feels like it's going to be a losing ticket. Why? Because every year Denver gets into the playoffs, it's a losing ticket. You want to think it's different this year. And I actually really like their starting five. They're talented. And they have one of the best home court advantages in basketball, not because of the crowd, but because of the elevation. And the theory behind it, Kevin, is, hey, Denver could lose every single road game they play in the playoffs in the Western Conference and still advance to the NBA Finals because they have the home court advantage. Is it also one of those things where you watch Denver in round one? If it is the Timberwolves, they play extremely well. Ooh, you start to perk up a little bit. But you know who's waiting for them in round two. It's going to be either the Clippers with Paul George coming back and being healthy, or it's going to be Kevin Durant and the Suns. That's what we're worried about. The roadblock coming up for them.
So it's a good point in that it's like, oh my goodness, the Clippers eliminated Phoenix for us, huh? What do you mean Paul George is back and Kawhi is playing excellent? Now, the Clippers, though, like, they can't beat Denver. So my big thing with Denver, Donnie, is I only think there's two teams in the West that can beat them. And I think it's the Suns and the Lakers. Well, somebody might handle their business for them as it comes to the – like, I'll say this right now. Like, Denver Warriors, they're running the Warriors off the court. I'm telling you they're running the Warriors off the court. But I don't think Golden State gets there. I don't at all. But Phoenix – Here's the closing thing I will say, and I will reopen this hall tomorrow on BATR. Make sure you are there. Donna will give you the listen up.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has joined a contender-level team before, and it basically ruined the NBA for a couple of years. And the first year, was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's going to really work out. And then I was like, yeah, whatever. All right, cool. KD's just going to win a bunch of titles, and that's how it's going to go. Is this Kevin Durant in Golden State? Is this KD in Golden State? If so, Phoenix should not be plus 480. They should be plus 240 to win the NBA championship. Time will certainly tell. I'll see you on BATR. Also see you on the morning after. Also see you on Moneyline. Listen up. DRS closes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the week here for the early line. Rising and grinding with us. It's been a lot of fun. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network today. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, as always, from 7 to 9 a.m., powering through to giving you all the updated topics and getting you ready for an action-packed weekend. And then when we leave the air, you know who takes over? Ben Stevens and the morning after. So make sure you stay tuned here. A lot of hot topics today centered around the Rays, centered around the NBA playoffs. Because why? The playoffs technically start tomorrow at 1 o'clock with the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers live from Philadelphia. But we have two elimination games tonight. It's exciting times. And the NBA grind is a lot of fun, particularly in round one. Seven-game series, multiple games every single night, and away we go. We don't have any of those, hey, take a breather like we did last night on a Thursday night. So let's look forward to that. But let's center our focus and attention on something historic being done in Major League Baseball. It's the Rays. Listen up. Can the Rays survive the weekend? Why am I asking the weekend? Because Saturday and Sunday, the early line is not on the air, coming back on Monday. And will they be unbeaten by the time we take the air again? A three-game series at Toronto, which everybody believes Toronto will be a contender here in at least the AL East for the remaining parts of the season. But it's unbelievable what the Rays have been doing. Sure, you could say their schedule hasn't been the likes of, okay, we have to play every single game against the Yankees, every single game against other regular quality opponents like the Houston Astros. You can only play who's on your schedule. And talking about the Rays and the damage that they've been doing, how about 101 runs scored so far in baseball? Far and away the best. How about runs allowed? 30 on this Major League Baseball season. Far and away the best in Major League Baseball. A run differential of plus 71 is absolutely spectacular. And to be honest, when you look at the series, they're going on the road. Eventually, yes, they're going to lose, but I believe they're the better team in all three games against Toronto this weekend. That lineup is hitting. The pitching is coming together. Maybe they do extend that streak into Monday, and we can continue to talk about it. But it's fun to watch history being made right before your eyes, and the Rays are doing it. Stay tuned for the Morning After. Ben Stevens coming up next, right here on The Grid.